were the blacks, the reds, the yellows, the whites. Now, the monogenesis explained that. And the view of the euhemerists is, you want to think about this. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
That just as the church was charismatically empowered, and there is no explanation for the growth of the church other than the power of the Creator. That's why Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, but tarry until you be endued." And let nobody think, while I poke fun at traditions, that this preacher is not a believer in the power of the Holy Spirit. I experience it every week, every day. I don't get what I say from study alone. Nothing can explain the miracle of the church save the charismatic endowment, the Pentecost of the church, where the Holy Spirit came to give that strange power to the church that enabled it in 4 centuries to conquer the greatest empire the world had ever known up to that date. But fundamentalists, bless their little old pea-picking heart. You believe the Word of God, then what is it now? How do they say it? Inherent Word of God? Sure do. There was only Adam and Eve, and Cain and his sisters, and Seth and his sisters. And they didn't produce descendants by spitting on mud. Only God did that. Likewise, Noah came out of the ark with 3 sons and 4 wives available, 1 for each, to start with. And we get blacks, Amerindians, red, yellow, mongoloid type, white, Caucasian. And God gave the same charge to Noah and his sons that he gave to Adam and Eve. You go out and replenish the earth. God wanted diversity of peoples, nations, kindred, and tongue. Now, we all assume when we grow up in the church and Sunday school that they were all one language till the Tower of Babel. Then God created the variety of tongues. The chapter before the Tower of Babel, God's telling them each after their tongues and after their types. There was diversity of tongues before Babel. Somebody, in defiance of God's plan, had imposed a unified language and was building a kingdom, a single kingdom, in defiance of God's will and God's plan, and a tower to heaven in his defiance of God. And God confused their tongues and defeated their purposes. That blows your tradition, doesn't it? It's truer to the Scripture than what the tradition's been teaching us. Because traditions can't spend much time with the first 11 chapters of Genesis, because traditions don't allow you to think. And you can't read Genesis 1 through 11 without saying, "Hey, wait a minute. What is going on here?" Now, all the varied races of mankind, by the time the genetic structure had shaped itself with recessive and dominant genes, all the 3 sons of Noah having 1 common father could not produce the diversity. You don't hear much about these four women. Powerful broads they were. Powerful broads they were. Come up on a little book, Origin of the Nations by John Pilkey. Interesting book. I'll read you a line. It'll blow your mind. He's really a fundamentalist evangelical. But at least he's got some brains. Rare combination. Very rare. The simplest, this is, my Lord, he's a, what in the world is this for? He looks too innocent to say anything like that. Associate professor of English at Los Angeles Baptist College in Newhall, California. Brilliant fellow, related to some very close friends and King's Houses in our organization. Probably one of the world's experts on the great Danish find of Celtic archaeology. The Gundestrup panels on that pot or crucible of silver that happens to have faces of four men and four women on it that goes in their heritage clear back to the Noahic beginnings. Now, can you believe a Baptist saying this? The simplest and best explanation regarding the four major types of race. Am I boring you?
No.
Of races. Simplest and best explanation is that these radical diversities within each color group derive from a process of eugenic polygamy within Noah's immediate family. A Baptist is saying this. Because all four males were closely related, they could not have displayed enough variation to account for the distinctly colored groups by the close of the third millennium. Stuff interests me. But this limitation did not apply to the females, whose parentage is not specified, and who could easily have been chosen to represent a plenitude of all the antediluvian racial types. They are the key to the early appearance of the four basic color groups, and their polygamous relationship to the sons of Noah accounts for the radical distinctions within each group. Assuming that each male was enough like Adam in genetic potential to place his peculiar stamp on each group. For example, we have found that there are diversities of whites. I'll go and say it for them. Diversities in the yellow race. Diversities in the red race. For example, more pure Amerindian type in Central and South America, more mixed with the yellow mongoloid features and skull shape in the Northern American type. The blacks of India differ from the blacks of Africa, but they're still true blacks. Where did these varieties within a type come from? For example, this Baptist professor says, I believe there's hopes for the Baptists. I'm telling you, God is raising up some voices in every group. We're not alone. God has delivered me as he did Elijah into the knowledge there may be 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to headquarters. For example, he says, we have found that African blacks descended from Ham's black son, Cush. Dravidian blacks that's the Indian from Noah's black son Riphath. a vassal to Gomer. Oceanic blacks from Japheth's black son Seba, a vassal to Cush. And the Amerindian blacks, Olmecs, from Shem's black son Hul, a vassal to Aram. All four men, Cush, Ham's son, Ripheth, these are biblical characters. You can find them in the Bible, Genesis 10 and 11. Cush, Ham's black son, Ripheth, Noah's black son, Oceanic blacks from Japheth's black son, Seba, and the Amerindian blacks, Olmecs, from Shem's black son, Hul. Now you can find Ripheth and Cush and Seba and Hul. Different father in every case. Cush is descending from Ham. Ripheth from Noah. Seba from Japheth. And Hul from Shem. All four of them dinging some black lady. Well, I mean, you know, all four of these men I just named were half-brothers. By the way, the Baptist didn't say it quite like that. All four men were half-brothers by the same mother. Boy, did she get around. Is the Baptist saying this? I didn't say it. Though I've researched it. All four men, Cush, Ripheth, Seba, and Hul, were half-brothers but the same mother. The universal black matriarch, one of the sole survivors, one of the four women of the antediluvian race from the land of Cush. Now, the question is, which wife was she? Now, I'll tell you, she wasn't Noah's wife. Noah was mongoloid in racial characteristics. Yellow. You say, how do you know that? Well, we'll see, won't we? And Noah was married to the white red matriarch. Now, the other boys had the black matriarch to give them names, the yellow matriarch, and the white matriarch. But, now, lest you think she was the only one bed hopping, according to this Baptist, the yellow one, and the white one, and the red one jumped around a little too. Now, according to this Baptist, B-A-P-T-I-S-T, according to this Baptist, the black call matriarchs, because they were the four ladies that were the mothers of the races, if you're monogenesis in viewpoint, that they all sprang from that family. Am I boring you?
No,
this black one bedded all four men. And she produced a son, black, from Noah, from Ham, from Japheth, and from Shem, which gave us a black with the genetic structure of Ham and Japheth and Shem, all sons of Noah and whomever he married, and Noah, son of Lamech and whomever he married, who were the sons and daughters of whomever they married. This fascinates me. I mean, you know, the Bible, you know what's wrong with the church world today? They just simply don't want to believe that God saves sinners. That's their problem. We're still making gods out of these people. I mean, you know, if the Lord would tarry 7,000 years from now, you humorists of that generation would be able to locate in the mythology of this generation the gods that Baptists had elevated, the gods that Assemblies of God had elevated. We're still making gods. We don't believe that God saves sinners. The Bible makes it clear. In the only chapter in the Bible where man is eulogized, Hebrews 11, there are a bunch of sinners. They had one thing going for them, faith. So God then gave them His Spirit alone with which righteousness can come forth. The mystery of the ages that the New Testament epistle writer says angels bent down low to discover as God was revealing it in part, and that prophets sought after its mysteries. God would achieve righteousness in the flesh. Do you realize what these angels have been looking on for years? And God was going to achieve righteousness in the flesh when the substance of God moved into the tent of human flesh called Jesus of Nazareth and fulfilled the law. Then died. Broke the barrier created by man's original sin. Until God could now do with you and me what He did. A witness Lee, like many people that are being dubbed cults by the overkill perpetrators of saber-toothed tiger curriculums. I'm no Watchman Nee devotee, nor am I a Witness Lee devotee. But when I read a book that criticizes them for talking about sons of God, Witness Lee's more right than his critics. The whole meaning of Christianity is the implantation of the divine in us. The whole meaning of the charismatic renewal that has struck every single denomination. God comes to dwell in us. The whole meaning of basic Christianity. We become sons of God with the implantation of a life in us, substance, that could not happen on all flesh until Christ died. These people, Noah and his sons, were not Spirit-filled Pentecostals ordained by the General Council of the Assemblies of God. They were not members of the clergy of the American Baptist Union or members even of the First Southern Baptist Church. Well, they spoke for God. Yeah, Noah woke up out of a drunk and spoke for God. But they were miracle workers. And through Christ, just as with Abram and David, God retroactively stamped on them the righteousness of Christ, but they did not have the sanctifying force living in them that was the promise fulfilled when Pentecost burst. But nonetheless, and it's the thesis of this Baptist, and I agree with him on this, that the task that God laid on Noah and his sons, a task that God gave and forever settled in heaven, His Word and all that He was, to hasten His Word was behind it. He gave them a task to replenish the earth and to cover the whole earth. It's a midget-minded concept that these powerful persons, after the flood, living 200, 300, 400, and 500 years after the flood, couldn't make it from Mesopotamia to South America. Couldn't figure out how to cross the Mediterranean. We are stupid when we see from just the study of the pyramid the knowledge that preceded the flood. And here are antediluvians living centuries after the flood. Well, I don't believe that, you know. Well, fine, I don't care. Throw the whole first 11 chapters out, you know. You believe the Bible's in that Word of God? Yeah, until you back me up, then. I don't have any trouble with it. I did a PhD at Stanford. I did an undergraduate major in geology. I changed majors on every degree. I don't have any trouble with this. Because if you will accept that God miraculously endowed these people and didn't necessarily lay a first century Christianity for a Mount Sinai, that ain't going to do much good, you know. The Mount Sinai frame of reference was on Moses, and he couldn't live without Zipporah more than a few months. He'd married another broad down in Egypt. Abraham's crawling into every tent Sarah gives him a chance to go in. You're not even safe taking a bath next door. David lives next to you. And it takes Solomon 3 years to make the rounds, one a night. You're not supposed to really believe what the Bible says, you know. You're supposed to read it and paint little holy coverings over it. So the Sinai formula wasn't too binding, apparently, and living by it was not the criteria of God's blessing. Faith got God's blessing. But don't go projecting first century Christian morals and ethics back into this scene. God gave these first family survivors of the flood a task to do. Divide the nations, replenish the earth, set up the earth as God intended it to be. And they covered the territory. You know how many times I've been overseas? And I'm only 55. You say, well, you got jets. Well, how do you know how they traveled? I can't believe that anybody could live 800 years and not figure out how to get around with something better than a camel. This Baptist says, and this I agree with him, God charismatically endowed. First time ever said anything, blew my hat off. Charismatically endowed. Just as there was a Pentecost to empower the church, there was a blessing given and a covenant made and an assignment given in whom the Lord calls, he enables for these guys to replenish the earth. They didn't have 10 commandments that told them, don't go to bed with anybody but your political wife. Give me some air. Now, what do you think Ham stumbled onto? I'm boring you. How are you going to leave this? I'm going to change the subject. I want to take up some money now. I want some money. You know who the names of the sons of the white matriarch are? And the red one? And the yellow one? You want to know?
Yes, sir.
You know, I want you to get this language because I'm dealing with a new area with us that I'm opening up. One I've been wanting to get on for a long time. either the races of mankind come from a common source, a single source, monogenesis, Adam first, with the sons of God mixed in, creating that problem before the flood, by some means, some of their descendants after the flood. I already pointed that out. And all races of mankind coming from Adam, from Noah, his three sons, and the wives of the four of them. Four wives. Now, how do we get the diversity? Your kids are going to have to deal with this. This is why I'm coming down so hard on the tradition. You know, some of the bonehead critics of mine don't know what their kids are facing. I went to university. I lost my faith because I'd been given a faith that couldn't cope. This is the television generation. They don't hear it in school, they'll hear it on some special research program. They're hearing it from me, but not with their faith being destroyed. For too long, you've had to park your brains at the door of the church when you became a Christian. These are valid questions. Where did the variety of races come from? There are people in the sound of my voice that can remember when some of the southern preachers argued it was the mark of Cain. The blacks. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And I'm sorry, the evidence is the other way around. And there is emotional jarring. There are whites listening to me right now that if you have to swallow the bitter pill, in your view, that the mark of Cain was fair-skinnedness, you're going to have diarrhea all day and hate me for a month. Shows what an embryonic racist you are. I don't answer any more phones for a minute. You can go ahead and finish your conversations. I can talk. There are people that are trying to be magnanimous, sitting there listening to me, but they're saying, I wish you hadn't said that. It is just against their nature. For the mark on Cain, to be fair-skinnedness. I mean in a good old U.S. of A. Christian home. Your first choice is black. You can live with it being red or yellow, but not white. Cain, the killer, marked with fair skin. If you understood grace and understood God's revelation, logical deduction would make you choose white first off. Thereby the miracle of God's grace is magnified. Because it's through the whites and to the whites that God's grace is seen magnified the most. I mean, the good white people are supposed to be taking the gospel message to the bad colored folks. It just ain't kosher. to have the bad white folks learn about God's grace and tell the good black folks and yellow folks and red folks. Well, I don't care, I'm telling you this. Noah and Ham and Japheth may have fooled around, but not Shem and his wife. Well, this Baptist here says that Shem's black son, Hul, the Amerindian blacks, the Olmecs. You know about the Olmecs, you know about the Aztecs, and you know about the Incas. But how about the Olmecs? Nobody knew much about them until archaeology burst on the horizon. Blacks over here. In the Americas. By the way, making slaves of white folk before white folk made slaves of black folk. Somebody recently was wanting to make every church pay. Not so recently. Got smarter. The guy got smarter. Churches should pay some kind of penalty money because of slavery in America. Well, I want all the black folk to pay because the Olmecs were enslaving whites and reds and yellows before any of the blacks were being enslaved over here. You see, all these races' viewpoints are stupid. The only one color a true Christian should see is red. Red blood, which contains the soul, breathed into the stream of mankind by God Himself. Ruach is the word in the Hebrew. Now, you know, there are white niggers and there are black honkies. Just as there are California Okies. Doesn't have anything to do with where you live or what your color is. Just means you're a first-class asteroid orifice and it's convenient to just find any name they can call you. You ain't ever been called a nigger until a black man calls another black man a nigger. You ain't ever been called a honky till I call you one and you're white. That means you lost whatever identity with mankind you had in the beginning. Color is irrelevant. You're a freak. You look like a man, you walk like a man, you talk like a man, you ain't a man. And I have found the proper placement of all such words. They all end up bureaucrats. Every one of them. All honkies, all niggers, all greasers, all kikes, they all end up bureaucrats. It's the only true misnomer of mankind that exists. There ain't no such thing as a true black nigger. There ain't no such thing as a true white honky. If you are what you ought to be, you are a man made in God's image, capable of being redeemed, all with the blood of Jesus in you, the breath of God in you, living soul, and we can all be sons of God. So all these racist issues come from man's stupidity and ignorance. You can't justify them with the Bible. I'm tired of Christianity being made to look foolish by asteroid orifices. Oh, I wish I were just at a banquet so I could. Before these banquets close, I'm going to describe some things I have, things against, the way I want to describe them. You will go out of that banquet saying, I never knew my pastor could be so eloquent. Logic would say, which race of mankind has been used by God to show off His power in the long history more than any other race? Now this has to be admitted, whatever your color, whatever your racial dominance. The white race has been used by God in the largest scale to communicate the gospel to the world and to be the recipient through Abram and his descendants, and Sarah was fair and white. That's very clear in the scripture. Not because they were the chosen ones of God because they outperformed the rest of mankind. Going out the gate, logic would say, that was the mark put on the first worst sinner. That God's redeeming power might be eulogized, proclaimed, and magnified. That those with the mark of Cain on them can be so blessed. Can I say something to you? I mean, logic tells me. Well, Baptist tells me now. Logic tells me. And my own research is revealing interesting things. That God is always jumping that broken circuit where it takes the largest leap to show forth his glory. That means if you get mad because of the blessing laid on Shem and his descendants, and you're mad because of what was laid on Canaan, the descendant of Ham, God's redeeming power to everyone in Christ is many times over greater than what he demonstrated in his redeeming power to the descendants of Cain, if that mark is whiteness. Somebody was white. It weren't the Cushites. Now, in Genesis 2, the Garden of Eden, it talks of being fed by a river. Then the original has it. You read the King James, you get the idea that out of the Garden of Eden, four rivers flow. That isn't what it says. This source of water that was in Eden, that came from God, divides and becomes four heads. Now, if you really read the original in Genesis 2, there's no way that this river divides into four branches. Somehow or other, this stream, or this source of water supply in Eden, crops out as four heads. So there's no necessity that you have four rivers flowing from the same spring. All Genesis 2 is saying in the original is that the water source that supplied Eden, which is from God, became four heads. Four great rivers, four great countries, four great peoples. God's original plan. You want to look at it? You say, well, what about Ham's wife and Shem's wife? I know you want the juicy stuff. We'll get back to Noah hating place. Go to Genesis 2. You know how many theories I've blown today? Huh? I'm telling you, you really are hung up between a rock and a hard place. Genesis 1 to Genesis 11. You either got to soften your judgment, perfectionist judgment on the people God can use, or you got to question the accuracy of scriptural origins. I've said that about four different ways. Do you understand what the choice is? You either got to let God get his job done under the necessities of the time with people that you just don't want to live on the same street with them when you get to heaven. I mean, they may get in there through the retroactive application of grace because of their faith, but, you know, No way we're going to let Noah and his sons live on the same street in heaven with us. They ain't going to live in the red light district. You understand me? God can't use people like this. Now, I want to tell you what these people were. They were feudal lords. Feudal lords. Well, I just rather believe that God recreated the genes and worked miracles. I'm not going to let them change beds. Well, go ahead, you know. Make it harder to believe God's word than it really is. Well, are you suggesting that God sanctioned bed hopping? Well, we'll see, won't we? Oh, that calls for a cigar. I mean, that calls for a cigar. Got to read from my cigar book for a minute. Got to come back down to earth for just a minute. Open the old cigar box. Let me consider a while. Here's a mild Manila. There is a wifely smile. Which is the better portion? Bondage bought with a ring? Or a harem of dusky beauties, 50, tied in a string. They get better all the time, isn't it? I need a little altar call music for this, but not yet. I'll wait a while on this. That's only part of it. I'll mark that page and get back to that when we get bored. Open the old cigar box. Get away from here. I got a director back there who'd like to read the next line before I'm ready for it. Just get away from me. Just get away from me. Oh, just come as close as you want. I'll fix it. There we go. Do whatever you want now. I got the rest of it that I'm not ready to read yet. Open the old cigar box. Let me consider a while. Here is a mild Manila. There is a wifely smile. Which is the better portion? Bondage bought with a ring? Or a harem of dusky beauties, 50 tied in a string? I get blessed by the easiest things. Counselors cunning and silent, comforters true and tried, and never a one of the 50 to sneer at a rival bride. Well, I'm only half done. That's interesting. I'll mark that. We'll get back to that. Just get back to that. There ain't no way. Racial diversity came without brothers and sisters marrying.